Hi, I'm Mary.
And I'm Martha.
And this is Kicks and Giggles.
This is a podcast from two soccer-obsessed friends about women's football. Yeah, we might use both words interchangeably at the 2024 Olympics.
Martha, I have a couple of corrections to issue from our last episode. The first one's not a correction. The first one is you had brought up the really great question about whether or not once we were in elimination stages, they would be the way the Euros played out or the way Copa played out a couple of weeks ago. And I looked it up. And it is the normal way, which is to say the games will be 90 minutes plus obviously injury time. And then if it's tied after that full time, we'll get 2 15-minute halves of overtime. And if it's still tied after those 30 minutes, then we go to penalty kicks. And then one other mistake I made, I misspoke, okay?
You
Barb,
misspoke.
I
You misspoke.
misspoke. Barbara Banda scored back-to-back hat tricks in 2 games in the last Olympics, not the last 2 Olympics games. So the point is, she's extremely impressive, as we saw yesterday. And that's what's important, frankly. On to yesterday.
All right. We didn't get a chance to watch all the games. We both watched Spain versus Japan and USA versus Zambia at the expense of watching Canada versus New Zealand and France versus Colombia. That being said, we're going to do a quick recap in temporal order.
Yeah, rather than alphabetical, which are the
Yes.
two ways I like to do things. So we're going to talk about it in France time because Martha and I are in different time zones, which means you may be as well. During the 5 p.m. France time games, Canada beat New Zealand 2-1 and Spain beat Japan also 2-1. Martha, what were your initial reactions?
Well, my first reaction was that in both games, the underdog, you can say, scored first. But then Spain and Canada came back. And I just thought that was curious that, even though the other team scored, they came back and capped it even more. So they did one over. And typically, we hear sometimes, at least in the NWSL, when a team scores first, it affects the psyche of the opponent. And so sometimes the opponent just can't get another goal or one goal in. But it's almost like Spain and Canada were like, not today. Or at least they came back with two goals to respond.
My not counter, because I think you'd agree, is that it is absolutely true. I feel like that we hear a lot about the mental hit you take when you're scored on first. But we're talking about Canada and Spain here. Canada is the gold medal holder from 3 years ago, and Spain's obviously the World Cup champion from last year. So if anyone was going to be able to come back strong, I guess it was going to be them. But I had truly the exact same reaction. And even though I watched the Spain Japan game, I had to go look up the score last night because I was like, wait, how much did they win by? Because especially in that second half, I felt like Spain dominated. It
Yes, they
was,
did.
yeah, it was surprising that it was not more, which is a shame because when the first half was on, I was like, oh no, we can totally take Spain. Psh, Spain. And then they sort of got in form, and I was like, oh, right, this is Spain. I forgot.
The one thing that I liked about that game, Japan's defense, I mean, they try to hold on as long as they could. And that second half, that's all they could do, and they would kick the ball out to no one. So there wasn't any really attacking going on from Japan. They tried to do their best, but Spain does Spain things. And it could have been more goals,
Yeah,
in
I
that
mean,
game.
you're right. It's actually a testament to Japanese defenders. Obviously, we'd rather see the kind of soccer where you clear it to a player and do a quick counter press. But the fact that it was not 5-1 or whatever I thought it was last night, is definitely a testament to the Japanese defense.
All right, let's move on to the 7 p.m. games. Brazil played against Nigeria and Brazil won 1-0. And Germany beat Australia 3-0.
Yeah, Martha, you did me a real favor yesterday when we were texting because I was starting to get stressed about the US game, which was obviously in the last time slot. And you said, which game will make you feel less stressed to watch? And so I ended up watching Brazil beat Nigeria, and I'm really grateful. There was a couple moments in that game. There's so many things I want to talk about, and I'm not going to just drone on. But first of all, one of our best friends is Brazilian. And so obviously I was cheering for Brazil in her honor. But the Nigeria squad really does intrigue me. Obviously, they did really well last summer in the World Cup. And the commentators kept talking about them penetrating the US college scene, which is true. And their coach is actually the Pitt coach, the Pitt University of Pittsburgh. The other thing that's very interesting about the players on Brazil is that a lot of them, I think it was like one third of the team, plays on Corinthians down in Brazil. And also, there are not insignificant amount of people on the Orlando Pride from Brazil. It was just very interesting to watch like cohesive people play cohesively who clearly play not just, in international tournaments. Brazil looked great. I would say the first bit of the game, I want to say 20 minutes, 20, 30 minutes. It was very tight. Brazil had shots, but one of their players came off with an injury pretty early on, like again in that 30th minute or so. And I was like, oh man, Nigeria might pull this out. And then boom, Marta, the goat of
The
women's
goat.
soccer, the goat, scored. Unfortunately, it was called back, but I truly, when she scored, I jumped off the couch and got chills all up and down my arms because that would have been her 117th goal. I'm sure she'll get it in the in
Wow.
yeah. But I really am. I'm sure she will get it in the Olympics. But so they ruled it offsides immediately, and then truly 30 seconds later, Brazil scored for real. It wasn't Marta, but still, it was very exciting. And I would actually say that the second half was again tighter than I think Brazil would have liked, but there was no doubt in my mind that Brazil was going to win that game. I think Nigeria just got gassed, which is to say exhausted early on, and just could, to your point about Japan almost, the 60th minute on, it wasn't necessarily like just kick it and clear it, but there was definitely a sense that it was like Brazil was winning this game. So I am excited though to see what both teams do in their next games.
Me too. Me too. And you also know that I do love Marta
Yeah.
because she's my tocaya namesake.
I know. Yes, we also have a language component to this.
Yes.
You're going to learn fun words. Most of
Yes, you
mine will
will.
be made up, and most of Martha's will be in actual Spanish. Martha, you watched Germany, Australia, and the last time I had checked on the score, my palms are literally sweating right now thinking about that game. Like, I was so anxious. And they were at 0-0 the last time I had checked the score. So what happened in the game?
I think, oh, I don't know. Germany is just very methodical and it shows. So some of the two goals that came off corners, those set pieces, it was so nice. The headers, you have to watch out for those with Germany. They have good height.
Yes, they're so tall.
And they have good precision. They're just good at that first heading touch. It doesn't just go up, it gets directed somewhere.
Ooh.
And I thought, wow, that's great. The third goal, I kind of think that, I mean, it was still good. It was an assist, like across from left to right, I believe, to Jewel Brand. And it was one of those goals, like, yep, that's what you do. Like, if you can't make it or the angle gets too narrow, you cross it over completely. Like, the goalie could not, get
Yeah.
that. And it slotted it right in. And I think that towards the end, I mean, it looked like Australia were also
Yeah.
defeated a little bit. Germany's looking good too. I know that's making you sweat. But we gotta watch for those corners. I believe in Alyssa Nair. Okay, we'll talk about it
No,
later, but
we could talk about that. I do believe in Alyssa Nair. In fact, I think at any point in time, if what we need to do is pause like what we're doing in life and say, I believe in Alyssa Nair. We should just do that. You know what I mean? Like maybe I'll just start texting you that at 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm up to go to the bathroom. And I'll be like, I believe in Alyssa Nair.
I believe in Alyssa Nair. I think she'll be like, as they're preparing for the Germany game, I think they'll be really looking out for that, for those set pieces off of corners. Either reducing the corner or figuring out, like Alyssa figuring out her angles and who to go for. Now, I really don't know the height differential between the US and the Germans. We're tall. Well, I'm not tall, but a lot of the US women's team's tall. So we'll see who gets paired up with who, but
yeah, you're right. I get the sense Tierna Davidson, who's a defender for Gotham and the national team and is incredible, does feel tall to me. But in contrast, Naomi Girma looks short next to Tierna, or shorter, not short, but shorter. So those are our two center backs. I can't picture them against Alyssa, our goalie, who I feel like is tall. So now when we get off this call, I am definitely going to go try and find pictures of all three of them and figure out like where I actually think their height is. I'm going to be just spending all of my time between now and Sunday obsessively Googling height differential between Germany strikers and American defenders. And then, you know, draw up a soccer board and try and find Emma Hayes's email and email the coach and just put it all out into the universe and be terrified and be terrified. That's what I'm going to do. Okay, let's move on to that game.
Yes. Let's move on to that last game of the day.
Yeah, the 9 p.m. games were the home country, France. They beat Colombia 3-2, and the U.S. beat Zambia 3-0. Martha, I don't know. Have you seen anything about the France-Colombia game?
No, I just know that I thought it was going to be kind of like the U.S.-Zambia game because France was up 3-0. And I thought, oh, Colombia. And Colombia got two.
Yeah, and it sounds like it was a nail biter at the very end. You talked about Linda Caicedo last time. We both super respect Colombia. We'll talk about them probably. I'm sure they'll move on and we'll be able to talk about them. But the thing I saw, again, haven't seen the game yet, but that they made it a game in the end. I actually wonder if I should have had the bar switch over to like, no, it would have been fine. It's fine.
No,
I was going to watch the US.
No.
So what did you think about the US?
I thought the US looked great. That trio up front.
Oh, that trio of Mal Swanson, Trinity Rodman, and Sophia Smith.
Sophie. Yes. That trio is great. I also think the pink just... whenever I see the streak of pink doing something, I was like, yes, there she goes. I mean, that first goal just spinning and getting it in, that was awesome. And then building on that with two from Swanson, so great. I think that front line, I'm excited to see them again since we sort of saw a little bit of the Germany defense, but not as much. Like, I want to see. Sorry,
Australia.
I want to see how they do. I think Germany will try to cut them off because they're very methodical that way. That second half, especially, I just didn't think it was very, very strong.
Yeah, let's talk about this for a second, because I think that there's two things going on here, right? One, our midfield, and I think you'd agree, but feel free to disagree. Our midfield is our weakest link, especially because
I agree.
That was true from the start. And then just before the cup, we lost Kat Macario, who is the Brazilian born Stanford grad, plays at Chelsea. Just like phenom, who creates plays out of nothing. And she is going to be felt as a loss. But again, I think it was already our weakest link. So that's one thing. The other is that second half, I've seen like a lot of criticism and heard on like official soccer podcasts where they're just like, oh, that second half, can we even? And I just want to like call it back for a second. First of all, Sophia Smith in that Trinity the Holy Trinity of Trini, the Mal, and Sophia, came off in like the 40th minute because she took a foul, like a hard foul to her ankle. And frankly, I agree with the decision. Like, even while it was happening, I was like, just take her off the field. We are up 3-0. We can hold a 3-0 lead for the second half. There is zero reason to get anyone injured at the first game of the Olympics, especially because we've talked about it already. We'll probably talk about it more, about how just chaotic the Olympics are. You know, you play, you travel, you practice, you play. Like, there's just not a lot of time. And so if anyone's even remotely injured and we're up by three, my opinion, again, just going to be emailing him, Emma, from here on out, take him out. And then she did, right? So she subbed in Lynn Williams, one of my faves. But the thing is, Sophia created both Trinity's first goal and Mal's first goal. And I don't think we should ignore the fact that, like, we, in losing Soph in the 40th minute, we lost part of that midfield. Like, she obviously is a top, like, in the top, not in the top, in the front line. But, like, she also creates plays. And so, like, that's number one, right? We lost a key player there. Two, and this is what I kept saying to somebody who I watched the game with yesterday. You know who you are. when you and I watched U.S. friendly against Costa Rica, not this past week, but the week before, I was really despondent afterwards because they just didn't look great. They didn't look gelled. They looked like I thought they did in 2023. And the commentary I saw the next day was there were so many, like, Emma kept switching things up on the sidelines every time because it was very hot. So they kept taking water breaks and she'd like have the board out and be like, okay, now we're going to do this. And people were trying to read her lips and all this crazy stuff. And I wonder if the second half of yesterday's game was like more opportunity to move people around and see just where, like, where other people can play. So, for example, at the very end of the game, wasn't like Jenna Neiswanger, who is typically playing defense for this team, in the front line?
Like, yes. That is, Jenna went up front.
Yeah. Like, that's not going to be, which is frankly, I believe where she played in college. So, like, that's not an unusual position for her, but that she was listed as a defender. So you have to assume, and by you, I mean me, that like Emma was doing some experimentation in that second half, again, with the 3-0 lead. And just a quick shout out to Naomi Girma and to Tierna, but and to all the defenders, including Crystal Dunn, another Gotham player who, making a little heart emoji because I love her. They shut down Barbara Banda. They shut down Kundinaji. Like, they shut down the very scary, very fast Zambia transition. And so that freed up the mid and the forwards to, like, or Emma, to do some experimentation with those two lines. And that is what I think happened in the second half. I'm not saying we looked great the entire time. I am saying I don't think despair is remotely warranted after yesterday's game.
After hearing you talk it through, I'm changing my tune a little bit, not a lot. I still think that those changes in the midfield, if it is experimenting, I hope they take that information and see what work they need to do. Because I think that, yeah, Jenna got brought up and Casey Kruger was at the back.
Yeah, which, fair, right? Like, these are people who play those positions. Again, Crystal was brought in as a forward, played in the back yesterday because they needed that experience defense. So none of this is something I have a problem with. It's all things that I go, oh no, I get it. You and I both heard Emma talk 2 weeks ago in New York. Yeah, 2 weeks ago in New York on Sam Mewis's podcast about the thing she loves most about the job is the ability to react to the circumstances. And like change, again, in the Olympics, the super fast transition time between games to like react and completely change up the way you play between a Zambia and a Germany, right? And I just think this is a little bit of that, is her figuring out, and I'm going to use the word experiment for the 17th time, where other people can go, whether it's, you know, God forbid, you know, Jaden Shaw, which, let's shout her out, didn't end up playing yesterday. Another midfield hit. I know, again, she's in the front line, but she plays in the mid on her club team. And so a real hurt, right? Like, she could have come in for Lindsay Horan and really changed things up. But to see, God forbid, someone gets hurt permanently, meaning for the, I'm going to take that out. I'm not, I don't, no, I'm not going to take it out. I'm going to leave it in because this is how superstitious I am. I'm just knocking on every surface that's remotely wood in my house from here until Sunday. But like someone, you know, needs a rest day. We need to strengthen that midfield line and have more options, whether it's pushing Jenna up, pushing Crystal to the mid. It's not like Crystal hasn't played mid before. Using Jaden. I don't care. Put Tierna. No, don't put Tierna there. Tierna needs to stay at the back. Anyway, the point is, I'm all about experimentation. I again, you are, I think, with the majority of people coming away from that game with like a little bit of, huh. And I do completely agree that our mid line needs some, we just need more players so that a Kat Macario miss doesn't destroy us. But
yes,
that second half did not scare me the way it scared other people.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'll think on that. I'll think on that, Mary. The one thing that I felt bad for, I don't know. I didn't quite understand was the red card.
Oh, Martha, that red card.
So Zulu. So I had to look this up because I was like, I could see that it was a foul.
Oh yeah, definitely a foul.
But the red, I was just like, where did this come from? But it is a foul because it's denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity. If it was in the penalty area, it might have been a yellow and a penalty kick. But because it was outside, it was a red because it just happened outside. She was the last defender between her and the goalie. And it was, I don't know how they do obvious goal scoring opportunity. I don't know what the obvious means or how someone determines it's obvious. But I didn't know this was a rule. Like, I didn't know this falls under the red card, you know, the red card sanction.
So, story time, Martha. 1994. The Men's World Cup is being hosted by the one, the only, the very not talented at soccer, United States. Someone I'm related to, I think my uncle, was able to get tickets for my grandfather, my father, my cousin, and I to go see Italy versus Norway play in Giant Stadium. I was at that game where the Italian goalie, Gianluca Pagliuca, got a red card because Norway got a breakaway. And it was just him, the goalie, and the striker on Norway. And he goes up and he's out of the box and blocks the kick from Norway and blocks it, right? Absolutely a red card. An obvious goal score opportunity. He was outside the box. If he had been in the box, obviously his hands would have been fine. It would have been saved. But yes, red card. He's out of the tournament. Not the rest of it. He came back later. Doesn't matter. We're not talking about the rest of the tournament. It makes me sad. But that was an obvious goal score opportunity. Yesterday, the goalie was between them and the ball. That is not obvious. I agree. It should have been a yellow card and a foul with a direct kick to the goal. Yes, of course. I disagree with the ruling that it was obvious. That makes me mad. If the goalie hadn't been in the goal, say she had like just saved something and been out of the box or even, you know, enough out of the goal, the 6-yard line, that it would have, if it had been a shot, it would have gone in, right? Like an open goal opportunity. Sure. But that was not the case. And I am extremely angry about it. Like, I obviously love the United States. So excited. I was livid about that red card, but okay, fine.
No, I was too. I just didn't understand it because we were watching it. We're like, all right, yeah, that's going to be a yellow. We saw that it was before the box, right? It's going to be a free kick. And then we saw the ref review it and then switch it to a red. I was like, wait, like everything made sense. Why are you reviewing this?
No, right. When the VAR screen came up and he ran over, I was like, oh, they're just seeing if it was like on the line of the box to see if
yes,
it was a penalty.
That's what I assumed.
Yes. But then it was, I'm going to be mad about that for a long time. I literally said to the people I was with, they should call that back after the game's over. My father goes, I don't think they do that very often.
They don't do that very often, but they did that in the Argentina-Morocco.
Correct. Correct. The men's game the day before.
The
Okay,
men's game. Yes. Okay.
We're not talking about them today. Okay. Martha, I just looked at the time and noticed how long we've been talking. Whoops. Apparently I can go on a lot about 1994, the US women's national team, the haters, and anything, possibly. Give me a topic. I don't think it would be concise or good, but I do think I can do it. Anything else from the US game before we move away from my monologue?
I think I'm excited and nervous about Sunday, but I'm looking forward to it.
Hard thing.
Well, the next thing we are talking about is the commentating, which I have to be honest. Sometimes if it's English commentating, I just mute it. It just, growing up listening to Spanish commentators, I just expect that excitement in verbal tone to translate. Even though I'm watching it, I'm also expecting to hear it. And that doesn't happen with English commentating. So I just mute it.
You and I have talked about this a lot in our personal lives, about watching in Spanish versus watching in English. But I did listen, not intentionally, because I agree with you. In the 2010 World Men's World Cup, I got so angry at the commentating, I started muting the games and putting music on so I wouldn't be tempted to unmute them. So I hear you. But I did yesterday, especially, I was not paying as much attention, frankly, during the US game. But during the Brazil-Nigeria game, I was, you know, sitting and watching. During Spain-Japan, I had it much lower because I was trying to do things at the same time, which was a mistake because most of them didn't get done. But during the Brazil-Nigeria game, I don't know who the commentators were. It was someone British, someone Australian, I think. And at some point, one of them made a comment about like how committed Brazil was in the second half. Like they were like really driven to get a second goal, or, you know, maybe not second goal specifically, but just really driven. And he said a lot less smiles this half. And like, as a woman, my entire hackles rose.
Ugh.
Cause like, could you imagine them saying that about, you know, the men's teams the day before?
Noah.
Like literally if someone had said, I think it was Tim Howard, who I love, was commentating the US men's game the day before. And if he had said, oh man, France in this 59th minute, they're really unhappy. It's still a 0-0 draw. We're not seeing as many smiles as we did in the first half. Like people would laugh out loud.
Yes.
I was infuriated. So what did you think about the crowds, Martha, during the games?
There were a lot of empty seats. Like if I had a teleporter, this is when I would use it. I mean, also to see you. But there were so many empty seats. I was like, I could probably get in there. Maybe not for free, but for a very, very low fee. So there were a lot of people, which I also made the comment to you yesterday. If you're going to be there and if the crowds are still this small, you better stand out because there's a good chance you could be on TV. I am expecting you to try something, a wig, face paint, a sign, something, because there was a lot of people on TV that they were focusing on because look, it's just, it wasn't a lot. So I happened to look up how many people were at the US Zambia game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a total of 5,500-ish people.
Ugh.
In a stadium that holds 36,000.
A stab to my heart. A stab to my
heart. So I was sad that it was such low attendance. And then, you know, you compare that to a lot of the men's games that we had seen, especially with that Argentina-Morocco that people started going on the field. I just wish that there were more spectators. And if I had lots of money to fly just for a day, sure, I'd go see them. But that was rough. But also, I expect you to stand out.
Yeah, so I think I mentioned in the first episode, and then obviously Martha just made a very vehement argument for wigs. It sounded like I can find a shiny red, white, and blue wig.
You're in France, of course you can't.
our best friend Deborah is living in France for a year or so, and therefore has a place for me to crash on her couch. So I am, in fact, flying to France next week and will be watching the U. Well, okay, let's knock on some more wood. We'll be watching a couple of games. I have tickets to one quarterfinal, one semifinal, the bronze medal game, and the gold medal game. It is insanely ridiculous that I am doing this. Like, it's gross what I'm doing, and I'm so excited. So, so excited.
I'm excited for you, and I expect things.
You guys can't see Martha, but the way she just looked in the camera was a little scary. Yeah, don't worry. If there are empty seats when we go to the first game, I am taking our friends and I am yanking them down to the front row. Like, that is, people should have done that yesterday, and I was ashamed by all of them, all 5,000 of them in Nice. Let me just say one thing. I will admit that to some, I mean, you made a great point about Argentina, Morocco, but this was before the opening ceremonies. So possibly people who are going bought tickets for, you know, starting today. So that's what I'm going to hold on to, that hope. Fingers crossed emoji.
Yes. People come through, because for the Sunday game, I hope I see as many US fans as German fans, because Ooh. Germans are, you know, they could just go right over. So please, US represent.
The other thing we wanted to talk about were a couple of controversies that have come up. I'm going to actually start with the Zambia coach, and he is accused of inappropriate behavior with his players, and was originally denied a visa to France and yet somehow got one. And so that was part of my feelings yesterday. Like, I was heartbroken, obviously, about the red card. And like, I really am into the Zambia players that I know the best because they're in the NWSL. But like, truly, I did not feel bad rooting against Zambia as a team because of their coach. And I think Becky Sauerbrunn made a point on a podcast that she's like, they better have a lot of people who are making sure, because the visa was granted with like, there will be no one-on-one contact with players. And she was like, how is that going to be prevented? And honestly, in 2024, I don't know how we have found ourselves in a situation, especially after last year with the World Cup and Luis Rubiales, like how did we end up that there was no one else to coach this team?
Yes, I agree. I mean, they have no assistant coaches. They have no one else.
Right.
I just don't understand that. And then that they gave. Look. I don't want to do a conspiracy hat.
No, let's do
something, it. Something, but like, there must have been some type of money involved or some higher up that coach knows in FIFA to say, look, you better keep me on because you don't want this X, Y thing to happen, because I will tell all. Or look, I'm buying this a little bit hush money for something else, because like he had to go through like Olympic delegation, FIFA, all like French giving him a visa, all that to say, okay, you could do this, let's restrict you. And then no one wanting to step up. Like, my other fear is that if he blackmailed the other support staff saying, don't step up, don't do this.
Yeah.
And so then no one did. They all kind of shushed and said, hey, we can't do this. He, you know, he's the only one that could do this. If he doesn't get fired after this tournament, I'm sticking to my conspiracy theory that there's some type of hush payments being made.
I fully agree. Even if he is fired afterwards, I mean, I think like you can see the situation in which he was like, no, this is the next international tournament. I'm going to be there and I will pull out every piece of, you know, blackmail, actual money, whatever it is to get there. So no, I completely agree with you, Martha.
The next controversy is Canada. You know,
oh, Canada.
This just keeps getting, I don't even know how to put it, but we find that there is a person who's flying drones in, that was involved in, you know, some youth sports or something, but was it's, I don't understand how someone could be not official, but yet related to an official
and
person on the team.
Right. Like, not just like not a named coach, but like clearly is with the delegation.
Yes. And then he gets a sentence, no? Or he got a sentence?
Or was arrested or whatever. I don't think he's been fully tried yet, but yeah.
And then the coach didn't, you know, deny that this was happening, but then the coach recused herself from the game, and now the coach is going home.
Yeah, it was funny because there was a lot of commentary about how recusal wasn't enough, like Canada, because, you know, this man associated with the team, to your point, in an unclear way, not an unclear way, it's clear how he was associated, but like, why isn't he just a named staffer? Anyway,
yes,
because he was flying, I think in the end, it ended up being two drones, not just, right? Like, at first it was one and then there was maybe two.
Yes, because I think that they had got footage from a previous session.
Okay, yeah. So they, right, that's right, exactly. So they had been spying on the New Zealand team in advance of their match. And a lot of people thought that they should like fully forfeit the match rather than just, you know, have Bev Priestman recuse herself from the game, which obviously didn't happen. The funny thing, it's like Canada. I don't understand. I thought they were... I don't know what I thought. I just keep being surprised. So there's more information coming out, right? Like, you and I are constantly texting about the latest, about maybe that, like, the 2021 Olympics, and like people are calling for the gold medals to be revoked. The men's team, including just recently at Copa America, where Canada, came like did well, like got through the semifinals. And
I mean, yeah, they were the only CONCACAF team that...
to make it out of group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And like Jesse Marsh, who's the coach of the men's senior team. So not the men's team that would be at the Olympics, but the men's senior team, is American. And with the American coaching drama, men's team drama that's been going on. This is a lot of like real weed stuff. But anyway, the point is, so much more information I feel like is yet to come out. And the reaction I keep having is just, Canada? Why? I thought you guys were great. Not great at soccer, but great.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens. Martha, I have another question for you to wrap up today. If you weren't friends with some of the raddest chicks this side of the Mississippi, who on the U.S. women's national team would you want to be your bestie?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I just want to be her bestie. I don't know if we would click because maybe she's quiet and I'm quiet and then we wouldn't really talk to each other. I'm just going to go with Naomi.
I was like, the minute you said she's quiet, I'm quiet. I'm like, she's going with Naomi again.
I just want to be her friend, but I feel like we both would be awkward.
I think you have other quiet friends. I think you guys would have like less loud interactions, but you share a lot of the same interests. I don't know. It makes sense to me.
Yeah. The other person I would go with is Tierna. But that's because I want to ask her a whole bunch of questions.
That's a good enough reason to be besties with someone. I think that's right.
I feel like we could figure stuff out. I think we could come up with an invention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she knows numbers, I know physiology. We could come up with stuff. Ooh, you know what? I propose like a research on women's physiology type of grant with Tierna. Okay.
So dreams. You've ditched Naomi and you're going for Tierna is what I'm hearing here. Or maybe Naomi's the bestie and Tierno's the business partner.
Yes, there you go.
I like that for you. Mine would be Rose Lavelle, because Rose Lavelle is awesome. She plays on Gotham. She's from Ohio, and some of my favorite people are from Ohio. You know who you are. One of the people I watched soccer with yesterday. And also, she's a huge book nerd. I got so excited when she signed her Kindle partnership because she started talking about all the books she was bringing to the World Cup on her Kindle. And while I prefer a hard copy book, I also got my Kindle originally for travel purposes because it's just so much easier to pack a suitcase with one Kindle rather than the time I traveled to the Caribbean and I opened my suitcase and had forgotten a toothbrush but had brought seven books. So I think
Well,
Rose
you could get a
Lavelle.
toothbrush there too.
You know, Martha, thank you. This was my thought. I can buy most things, but like I have to curate the books I'm bringing.
Yes.
You can't just randomly acquire random books at a gift shop or at the airport or whatever. Thank you. And thank you guys who are listening so much to everyone who listened to our last episode and listening now. We are so honored to be let into your ears.
And we'll be back after the next games, which take place on Sunday at 5 p.m., 7 p.m., and 9 p.m. France time.
If you have questions about soccer, players, or life you'd like us to answer, send us an email at kicksandgiggles2024@gmail.com. That's kicks, the letter N as in Nair, giggles, 2024@gmail.com.
See you soon. Bye.
Please ignore all the text messaging I do between now and then about German Heights School. Don't worry about it.
Anyone's taller than me.